Certain tool shapes and types and even materials were discovered in the Stone Age that could aid in constructing houses and digging ditches, and both of these would help encourage a settled life. Once groups decided to settle down, the domestication of plants and animals occurred relatively quickly. And there are two types of domesticated wheat, emmer wheat and barley wheat, that could be cultivated and adapted to make them much easier to harvest. These would be the staples of the Mesopotamian diet for millennia. The main staples for Mesopotamian food were beer and bread, and both emmer and einkorn wheat were used to create these products. As they were domesticated, sturdier ears of wheat were developed that could be collected more easily instead of scattering on the ground. So you can imagine you're going down a row of wheat, you want something that you can grab a handful of instead of having to reach down and pick up each individual seed in order to process them. These two types of wheat were also developed to make softer husks that made them less labor intensive to process. So you could actually get to the kernel of the wheat by developing a softer husk that wouldn't require so much grinding. The domestication of animals is a bit more elusive. It may simply not survive in the archaeological record. We may yet come across it. We know that sheep and goats were domesticated, and herding processes were developed to make them hardier, more resistant to disease. Here, we should note, for the first of many times, the importance of these two animals to the Mesopotamian economy. When records survive about flocks, they routinely record what flocks yielded in with respect to wool and textile production. And the significance of these two animals to Mesopotamian life and its economy really cannot be overstated. We will see lots and lots and lots of sheep. And they are by far the most important animal in use in Mesopotamia. Their value lay in the fact that they could produce milk, certainly wool, occasionally meat, although they weren't often used for meat. Their value was really in what they could provide and keep providing while they were alive. Cattle were used for plowing fields, very rarely for meat, even less rarely than sheep or goats. So cattle were an extremely valuable resource. And when we get to laws a little bit later on, property laws, we'll see what the value of a cow was depending on how old it was or how easily trained it was. This focus on herding complements agriculture because flocks can graze in land that is being left fallow for a year. And so sheep and goats can go survive off a tract of land that needs to rest before it is used for agriculture. And we'll see that very rarely do communities depend solely on agriculture or on shepherding. But it's a combination of both. During the 5th and early 4th millennium, we begin to identify the first villages and small towns that show a similar use of architecture and also a similar style of pottery. And this occurs first in the south. We've seen traces of human settlements as early as the 7th millennium, but they are very small, less than 2.5 acres. And that's both difficult to identify, as we're surrounded by all of these tells, and it's also difficult to interpret. We find these settlements in regions where rain-fed farming was typical. So it's in the northern part of central Mesopotamia. Remember, that was an area where rain could supply agriculture. We see that these communities continued to hunt, for we find bones of wild animals, gazelles and onagers, these beasts that were prevalent out in the desert and in the steppe. We also see domesticated sheep, and we find traces that the hides of these animals were used. So there may be indications from this archaeological evidence of a specialization of profession. We start to find the earliest spindle whorls, which were used to spin wool. So right at the beginning, we see that sheep were used for the wool that they could produce to make clothing.